Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And we're live, a Tuesday edition of the program. So glad to have you with us today. A lot to get to, some guests and some other things going on. Of course, it's Final Four week. I'm a little envious of others that may be headed to Minneapolis. It's not a great location for the Final Four as far as weather goes. I'm sure it's still going to be cold and definitely chilly in Minneapolis this weekend, where if it's to the south or to the west, you normally get a little bit better weather this time of year. But the Final Four week, really from, I guess, starting Wednesday night, but from Thursday on, it's a lot of fun if you've ever been, whether you're a coach or just a fan. There are a ton of things to do. A lot of networking goes on behind the scenes at all levels, not just the Division I level. You've got college coaches from every conference, every level of basketball, a lot of high school coaches, a lot of coaches association meetings, and for the normal fan, lots of fan fest and lots of things for kids to do that are kind of designed to be around the Final Four event. And really, to a lot of people that go to the Final Four each and every year, a lot of coaches, a lot of basketball people, to be quite honest, getting tickets to the Saturday semifinals are kind of, I don't want to say an afterthought, but kind of secondary. If you run across some good tickets at a reasonable price, you might pick them up. If not, there are plenty of things to do and plenty of places to watch the game, and just a really fun environment to be around, no matter who's in the Final Four. And I've been fortunate enough to go a number of years, will not be going this year, unfortunately, but it is a great festival-like environment. And again, especially for people in the basketball community or the coaching community, especially a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. Some interesting Final Four participants, some interesting Final Four games on Saturday. And then, of course, the national championship game takes place on Monday night. We've got that to talk about. And a lot of movement, a lot of question about what's going on with the IU roster in the offseason. It's nothing specific to IU. I mean, every day there are more and more players announcing that they are going to transfer, whether they are an underclassman that has some eligibility remaining or whether they are a graduate transfer that will have maybe 1 year in most cases of eligibility left and the opportunity really to immediately transfer and become eligible this summer at their next and final Division I basketball home. A lot of that going on. Mix in some recruiting as well, and it never stops, to be quite honest with you. Plenty to think about with this IU team. Also, kind of to open the show, we'll talk more about this here in a minute, but great news, I guess about an hour ago, press release was put out that Calbert Chaney is going to be inducted in the 2019 class as a member of the National College Basketball Hall of Fame. That is located in Kansas City, right across from the Sprint Center, where some of the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games were played over the weekend. But big honors for him, a really good class of some coaches and players, former players, will go into that Hall of Fame, and it's a rightful honor for Calbert Chaney, given his career at IU. We'll talk more about that today as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll talk some about Calbert. We'll talk about recruiting rankings and the Final Four. Rick Bozich of WDRB with an awesome piece earlier today about the rankings of some of the big names in the Final Four, and you'll be surprised, both individual rankings and recruiting rankings as far as class rankings for some of the programs in the Final Four, they're probably not as high as what you would expect them to be. So we'll talk about that for a brief moment. An update on some transfers. Joey Brunk, we're going to talk about him. Trendon Watford, a recruit, obviously. potential recruit for this IU program, a little update on him as well, and a couple other quick headlines in our first segment today presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Later in the show, segment two, it's Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star presented by Coffee Crossing. The new Coffee Crossing location is now open in Sellersburg. I look forward to getting by there later this week, and we'll talk with Greg. He was in Louisville on Thursday and on Saturday for some really great classic March Madness games. We'll talk with him about the Purdue performance. We'll talk with him really about the games in general. We'll get his thoughts on the Final Four. And I know Greg told us last week that he was at the 2008 NCAA tournament with Steph Curry, when some of his huge performances there for his team, and we'll talk about that and how maybe that compares to what Carson Edwards was able to do. I know Greg said, to me off the show that really it maybe as close of a Curry-like performance as he's seen scoring-wise in the NCAA tournament would be Carson Edwards and what he was able to do over the weekend, really in both games, specifically the Saturday game, the loss for Purdue in that final eight, that Elite Eight contest. So we'll have Greg Doyle a little later. And then later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. There's lots to get to. I mentioned a lot of it at the top of the show, some movement with the roster and, you know, what's the situation with Romeo. Is there a sweet spot when we could expect a lot of announcements? There have been some NBA announcements from players. Some did it immediately when they were defeated from the NCAA tournament, I guess, in a couple scenarios, or at least they hinted that way. A couple have since then either tweeted or their school has announced that they're going to go to the NBA draft and either hire an agent or not hire an agent. There's all sorts of different ways to do it. There's no exact protocol that you've got to follow. Some do it just simply on their social media. Others have a press conference. Some have made big announcements with their family there and that sort of thing. But I would think the likely time we would find out from Romeo if he is going to the NBA would be after the national championship game on Monday, maybe sometime that week or the following week. But it seems to be we're getting to that time. Not really there yet. And again, there's no like designated, this is the week you got to announce. There is a deadline, which I should look up and tell you. But I would think that we're getting there within the next couple of weeks. And that's just a guess. But we'll talk some about that today with Pegs as well when he's with us. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Calbert Chaney to the Hall of Fame, one of six decorated former players and three influential former coaches that have been selected to the National College Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2019. The honorees, including Calbert, will officially be enshrined on November 24th in Kansas City at the 2019 National Collegiate Basketball Hall of Fame induction celebration presented by Nike, according to the press release that was sent out this morning. And just if you needed a reminder on Calbert Chaney, he's got a long list of accomplishments as an IU player and a long list of accomplishments as a high school basketball player at Evansville Harrison as well in the high school ranks. He's IU's all-time leading scorer, and even better than that, he's the Big Ten Conference's all-time leading scorer. So a prolific scorer was Calbert Chaney, and again, this is a very, I think, rightful honor for him to reach the College Basketball Hall of Fame. It wasn't a matter of if, it's just a matter of when he was going to get inducted, and glad that 2019 is the year that he will be a member of that prestigious fraternity. Rick Bozich, WDRB, great story on recruiting rankings with Final Four teams, like class rankings that they put out at the end of each recruiting class, and also individually with some players as well. And I'm just lifting a couple notes from his story, which you can read at WDRB.com, and I'll retweet on Twitter at Hoosier Hills. But he is Bryce Brown at Auburn, a senior, when he was a senior in high school, let me say, at Decatur, Georgia, where he went to school. He was ranked the 369th best player in the country, the 91st best shooting guard, and the 22nd overall best prospect in the state of Georgia. Obviously, we saw what he's done for his career at Auburn. We've seen what he did over the weekend, both in the Sweet 16 and in the Elite Eight victory over Kentucky. He sure doesn't strike you as someone that was ranked almost 400th in his class nationally. But again, a lot can change. I guess the whole point of this is recruiting rankings are fun. Often they do target the best of the best, but when you get outside of the top 20, 25 players, even sometimes there are misses in that. You know, how accurate are they? Bryce Brown, obviously, an outlier that was able to find his way through despite having a 369th ranking his senior year, final rankings his senior year as far as player rankings go. How about Texas Tech? Rick Bozich writes about Jarrett Culver. He's likely going to be a first-round NBA draft pick. He's been so key to this Texas Tech team and their run to the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. He was ranked number 312 in 2017 player rankings. He was number 64 in his position, which is a shooting guard. And in his state, Texas, he was the 24th best overall prospect. Again, Jarrett Culver, he's very likely headed to the NBA. He very likely will be a first-round pick. And again, he had a 300-plus national ranking coming out of high school as a senior. Let's look at the teams. And again, I'm pulling this from Rick Bozich's story at WDRB.com. Each year at the end of the recruiting classes, which seem to get later and later into the spring, as IU fans would know with Romeo making a late April decision a year ago, they tally up based on the stars and the different rankings. Each service has a different way of doing it, but they have a recruiting ranking for programs, college basketball programs, for that specific year, that one calendar year, that recruiting class. For example, we're currently in what's called the class of 2019, the graduating class of 2019. So there will be rankings. There are rankings throughout the whole deal, but the final rankings will not be tallied until the class is finalized across the board. But let's look at Virginia over the last four seasons. We're looking at all the Final Four programs, thanks to what Rick Bozich put together. Virginia, if you average out their last four recruiting classes, they would be 58th best in the country. 58th best in the country. Texas Tech, their last four recruiting classes, they had one of their last four, was the 135th best recruiting class in Division I basketball. What are there, like 260-something? I may be off on that, Division I programs, but that's pretty low. Their average ranking over the last 4 years, 70th has been their ranking of recruiting classes over the last 4 years. Michigan State, you would think that would be a little bit better. They had a year a couple years ago where I think they were third overall in the country. Their average ranking over the last four recruiting classes, 24th in the country. Auburn, unranked with zero freshmen in 2018. Their highest class was a 12th-rated class a few years ago. Their average ranking, 17th. So they are the highest of the teams in the Final Four. And, of course, it's the first Final Four for Auburn. So I bring this out because as much as we talk about recruiting, and often when you talk about recruiting, you attach a player's ranking or you know, four stars, five stars, whatever they might be. Some of it's very warranted and gives you a good read on players, and you're able to identify some of the better players earlier. But I think looking back at these class rankings and looking back at some of the big players in the NCAA tournament so far this year who are expected to be big players with their teams in the Final Four and perhaps the national championship game show you that rankings always, especially outside of the best of the best, aren't chalked up to be what they factual necessarily or definite that this is exactly how things are. There obviously can be a lot of changes, and there obviously are players, even in the Final Four, that does find a way to slip through the cracks. A couple quick recruiting notes before we close out the first segment. Joey Brunk of Southport, he went to Butler. He had an in-home visit over the weekend with IU coaches. He also had an in-home visit with the coaches from Ole Miss. And things may be moving fairly quickly with Brunk on the recruiting front. At least the interest between Brunk and the IU program seems to be good because he made an unofficial visit to the IU campus yesterday, according to multiple reports. So that's going to be maybe the first potential incoming player to this IU roster for next season. We'll see how things go. Also, new Alabama coach is meeting with, or had a meeting, I should say, over the weekend with Trendon Watford. That's a big 2019 recruit still hanging out there that IU has a chance for. And Kelvin Sampson, just a note, we mentioned that he had some interest, or there was rumored to be interest, in the Arkansas job. And what if Arkansas came back to Assembly Hall next year for a game and Kelvin Sampson was on the sideline as the Arkansas coach? It doesn't look like that's going to happen, because according to multiple reports out there yesterday, representatives from both sides, Houston and Coach Sampson, reviewing details of a $18 million six-year contract extension for Sampson, which would make him among the top 20, 21 highest paid coaches in the country. Those are the headlines for this Tuesday edition of the program presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights and a live band on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Stay with us. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next. That segment presented by Coffee Crossing. We'll have Greg Doyle, we'll have Mike Pegram, and a lot more still coming your way on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle, columnist with the Indianapolis Star, always with us in this segment, thanks to Coffee Crossing. You can brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy Coffee Crossing's warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use their convenient drive-through. And now open. I said this in the first segment. I feel like it's the official announcement here, at least on our program. Now open is Coffee Crossing in Sellersburg. And Greg Doyle, that means that instead of driving 3.2 miles further south to the Coffee Crossing location on Charlestown Road in New Albany, or the one on Grantline Road in New Albany, you can stay just a little closer to the Circle City and make that turnaround quicker and head back north.
Yeah, I'm on my computer right now, and I'm typing in directions. Typing in directions right now. See how many miles that is. That's beautiful.
Greg Doyle, our guest. You know, obviously, we're a little short on IU topics. I'm going to get to Romeo and a couple things with roster movement in the offseason, and I'm even going to get your thoughts on Calbert Chaney making the 2019 class of the College Basketball Hall of Fame announced just a little earlier this morning later in this segment. But I've got to start with a lot about what we've already talked yesterday. My goodness, the NCAA Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games were fantastic, and that's one of the things I love, even though you've been here long enough and you've embraced the state from high school level all the way up, obviously, to the college and pro stuff. You've got great perspective before your stop here at the Indianapolis Star covering college basketball really across the country. So you've seen a lot of NCAA tournament games, a lot of Final Fours, a lot of national championship games, a lot of very meaningful games in the tournament. And I'm curious how what happened in Louisville both nights, really, Thursday and Saturday, stacks up with what you've seen in person in the postseason over your career.
Well, I was lucky enough in 2008 to be assigned to the regional where Steph Curry was. And so I was there when he lit up Gonzaga and I believe it was Wisconsin. No, Gonzaga and Georgetown, the first two rounds, lit up Wisconsin in the third round and didn't light up Kansas in the region final, but scored 25 or so, didn't shoot the ball great. But I was there for that. And that was, like, Curry had already been among the country's top five scorers freshman and sophomore seasons, but people didn't know who he was until that tournament. And that was his hello world. And it's so ironic how this works out, but he, as good as he was, and LeBron James, actually, I don't know if it was Detroit or what, but for the region final, LeBron James was sitting courtside, and he was there to watch Steph Curry. As good as Curry was, he didn't turn pro that year. He turned pro the next year because people didn't think he could play in the NBA because he was, you know, too small and too this and too that. And, of course, he's pretty good. And another bit of irony is that Curry did not win NBA Rookie of the Year his first year. That was Tyreke Evans, of all people. Who do you think would be a better player? You know, who would you rather have right now? But Pacers have one of them, but they got the wrong one anyway, since Steph Curry did what he did in 08, I've covered every tournament since, and probably 5 or 10 before that. And the closest thing I've ever seen to that was Carson Edwards. And I'm not sure it wasn't as good. They both played 4 games. Carson scored more. They both played 4 games. Carson hit more threes. They both got the region final. And here's just really weird. I mean, this is really weird. The last play in the region final for both teams, Davidson in 08 against Kansas, which went on to win the national championship, and then Purdue the other day against Virginia. In both cases, the guy, Carson and Steph, had the ball in their hands down a possession and in the last seconds. And Carson passed it to Ryan Klein and went out of bounds, turnover, and that was the game. Steph Curry was doubled, and he passed to Jason Richards, the point guard, who missed. So in both cases, the guys that are having the tournament of all tournaments, neither guy took the last shot, and their teams lost in the region final. Really kind of weird. And I was there for both, and I'm just so damn lucky to say I can say that.
Yeah, let me ask you, Carson Edwards professionally, I mean, obviously he's going to play somewhere and get paid to play, but where is he at as far as profession? I mean, he's not in the first round, at least in a couple that I looked at this morning. What do you think is next for him as far as the professional level goes?
You know, there's a wide range there. And I don't mind. I don't feel like I'm copping out to say that because this past season there was a wide range. When Carson was hitting his shots, I mean, he was a national player of the year quality guy. I mean, we saw what happens when he hits his shots. We saw it in this tournament. He was unbelievable. He scored 35 a game. He averaged more game than Steph did in 08. He averaged more game than anybody's averaged in the tournament since Bo Kimball in 1990. That's 30 years almost. So I don't mind saying that when Carson's hitting the shots, he can play in the NBA and make a lot of money and be a great player. I mean, a great player. But then we've also seen this season when he's not hitting the shots. And so I don't know. I mean, it's a wide range. Now, he's a hard worker. He's going to have nothing but time to work on his shot in the NBA, maybe to get it more, you know, more consistent. The range is not a problem. I was doing some research on him the other day, and almost a quarter of his shots this year, all told, were taken from beyond the NBA three-point arc. So range is not a problem for him. The problem is just consistency. So I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is that he's not, you know, Curry was a point guard type player in college and is a point guard type player right now. I mean, he gets 7 or 8 assists a game and great vision and great handle and all that. Carson's got the handle, but doesn't, I mean, he needed this year to show he could be a point guard. He knew. I mean, he was coming back because the NBA wanted to see, can you lead an offense? And the answer to that question was kind of no. I mean, Purdue didn't want him to. They had no Joe Eastern do it, but I think if Carson could have been a guy that gets 5 or 6 assists a game, he'd have had the ball in his hands a lot more initiating. That's not his game.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. I want to get your thoughts on the Final Four and talk a little bit about that, but before we do, on Purdue, this was a rebuilding year. This was a middle-of-the-pack year projected for them in the Big Ten Conference, and Matt Painter takes this team not just to the Sweet 16 but to the Elite Eight and really a possession away from the Final Four. Your thoughts on this team and maybe what they were able to accomplish despite what the outlook was for them, just really, really amazing.
Yeah, I covered their first game. Well, my first game when I covered Purdue, it might have been their fourth or fifth. I think it was Ball State, and they won. And that was though in the middle of a 6-5 start. I wrote something that people were actually making fun of me a week or two later because Purdue lost a couple games, and they're 6-5. And I remember I got emails, tweets from people, and I'm sure they're mostly IU fans, just loving that Purdue was 6-5. But I got a lot of reaction from people didn't like what I wrote after the Ball State game when what I wrote was they're going to win again. They got some weird shaped pieces. I remember I wrote they've got a point guard who looks like a power forward, no Joe Eastern. They've got Matt Harms, a 7'3", and don't know what he is, but he's something. Carson Edwards is a very small shooting guard. Anyway, they had all these weird pieces, but it's going to work. And Painter's really good. And anyway, it did work out. But I wrote that not to pat myself on the back. You get lucky. Lord knows I've been wrong a million times. I wrote that. Not because I saw how good they were going to be. I mean, I'm not that good. I wrote that because Painter has a track record that says he's going to win. And that was kind of my the faith I had in Matt Painter allowed me to write that story, not the faith in my ability to scout a college basketball team in November because I can't do that. But my faith in Painter that he'll figure it out, and he did figure it out. So So that's my way of answering your question, is that, next year they're going to – he'll figure it out. They're not rebuilding, but they're losing – I mean, you know, you're losing Carson Edwards. I mean, that's obviously huge. They're going to have to figure out where's their offense coming from. And Ryan Klein, too. I mean, that was almost half their scoring this year, I'm sure, gone. And Grady Eifert, I mean, that's a big loss. That's a glue guy and more. So that's a big loss. That's three big losses. Now, Carson hadn't announced he turned pro yet. I assume he is. We don't know that, but I assume he is. Three big losses. But Painter's a guy that you give him puzzle pieces, and he'll make a pretty good-looking puzzle. It doesn't really matter what the pieces even look like. He'll just make a good-looking puzzle.
Craig Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment each week is presented by Coffee Crossing. Their Sellersburg location is now open. I want to talk some about the Final Four, and this has come up earlier. This has come up yesterday, but it's hard to talk about Michigan State in the Final Four on this program and in this state without remembering that Indiana swept Michigan State in both of their meetings, Big Ten Conference meetings this season. That's just interesting. That's just weird. That's just intriguing to me that Michigan State, Tom Izzo, it's really no surprise they found a way through a very tough pass and what really has been a tough season. See the IU losses for Michigan State and some injuries at times and some things, but just amazing for IU to know they did not make the tournament but beat a Final Four team not just once on a fluke but twice in the same season. That's really unique.
Yeah, and within seconds of Michigan State beating Duke, I tweeted out something I'm looking at right now because I wanted to give you these numbers. I wrote, Michigan State just beat Duke and Zion Williamson. Michigan State's going to the Final Four. Michigan State was swept this season by IU. And it got retweeted a million times and favorited more than that. But the reason I'm bringing that up is because then – but I got a lot of responses from people who just don't get it. And there are a lot of people who just willfully don't want to get it. And they wrote back, yeah, well – and they gave me an example of – One team beat one team this year, and one team in football beat that team, and the Patriots lost to the Detroit Lions. And what are you saying? And what I'm saying is IU swept them, like as you said. That wasn't a fluke. That one, they swept them. That's different. So you want to talk apples and apples? Find me a future, you know, Final Four team that got swept by a team that went to the NIT. Find me that. Don't find me an NFL team that won the Super Bowl after being swept by a mediocre team from the same division. Don't tell me about one. This was two, a home and away, and that's. I mean, it's got to, and it was. That's why people, these mainly IU fans, are tweeting me back because they didn't like that. I don't know why they didn't like that. They didn't like that, but frustrating, I suppose, because you see what your team is capable of, and know that they weren't really Final Four capable. They weren't capable of that, but they were capable of being a lot better than 17 and 15 or whatever they ended up being. I mean, you can't sweep Michigan State and not be capable of being more than that. So they clearly, this is a disappointing season, and Michigan State getting as far as it got, and heaven help us all if they go farther, underscore just how frustrating and really underachieving this season was at IU.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Did you get a chance, and I think you did, I'm pretty sure you did, get a chance to talk with Kyle Guy after his team won and they're going to the Final Four? Just a great story there as well for an Indiana kid.
Yeah, you're going to make me emotional. Kyle Guy, you know, came out in about a year ago with saying he's dealing with anxiety, which leads to depression. And I'm in the same boat. It's why I get so emotional, by the way, just so you know. I'm not this sentimental, although maybe I am, but talking about this stuff, I'm kind of raw at all times. The anxiety does that to me. So it doesn't take much to set me off. But I talked to Kyle before the tournament for a story. And because he'd been struggling, and he struggled in the Sweet 16 too. I mean, just struggling. And I the story I wrote, what I want to talk to him about was, how are you doing with all these struggles? Because he talked about last year, the pressure just built up. It was just too much, and the pressure is what, you know, led to the anxiety for him. And here he is in the tournament in his first two games, and then it became a third game. He was, I mean, Virginia's all time 3-point shooting leader. He might have dropped off that now that he slumped so bad, but he was their all time leader. And like 42%, three terrible games in a row. And I asked him, how are you doing with this? And he said he was great. And I even interrupted him and said, Kyle, you know why I'm asking? And he goes, yeah, I know why you're asking. I am good, and it shows the growth I've had, and, you know, medication helps. He's been taking some. We compared notes. We were on the same stuff. You can believe that. But anyway, when I was talking to Kyle for my story, I got emotional. And I mean, just such a nice kid. You know, if you just watch him play, And how can you not? They're in the Final Four. Watch him play, people. Watch him at all times. Watch the smile on his face. It's different. Now, maybe he's just got, you know, Jim Carrey has control over his facial muscles in a way that makes him just so good at all the faces he makes, you know? And, like, we can all try to copy Jim Carrey, but we can't because his facial muscles just move in different ways. And maybe that's Kyle Guy, okay? But his smiles are different, and I don't care how stupid that sounds. You watch him. The glee in his face is different. And I don't know if it's because he's got that much more glee than most people on the court or just because his face lights up in a way that most people can't. I don't know. But it's hard not to love watching him play, and it's hard not to love listening to him talk. And yeah, after the game, Purdue lost, and I was selfishly hoping Purdue would win because I want to go to the Final Four. You know, that's a big deal for us. Big deal for the Indy Star. Sure. You know, I want to go. Purdue lost, and I'm on deadline. It's terrible deadline, horrible. But I needed to see Kyle. One more time.
It's okay.
Yeah, so I'm waiting outside the locker room, and he's such a nice kid. And he actually was pulled aside by, I don't know, Turner or Chris Webber. I don't know, somebody's talking to him. Andy Katz, somebody is interviewing him. And I'm standing there waiting for him, and it's midnight or whatever time it is. And I said, I'm sorry, I know you're busy, and the locker room's waiting for him, and I know you're busy, but I just wanted to, you know, congratulate you on you know, just the hell, because he had a hell of a game. I mean, he was, in the second half, he was matching, he and Carson Edwards had a three-point shooting contest the second half, and it was unbelievable to watch. Anyway, yes, I did talk to him after the game, congratulated him, and he's such a good kid. He likes what I've written about him. You know, he liked that I wrote about the anxiety. He likes that I told him I've got it too. People don't do this. People as good as Kyle Guy don't do this. But he said, go to our media relations guy. I want you to have my cell number just in case you ever need me. I mean, it was just, and I don't think he meant that professionally. I think he might have meant that personally. So I really appreciate Kyle Guy.
Yeah, good stuff. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star with us. Man, Greg, good stuff. appreciate having you, man, and your honesty on this program. Yeah. Really good stuff. I want to close with this. IU, yeah. Calbert Chaney in the Hall of Fame, that just came out this morning. Maybe just a quick thought on that. Obviously, it's an honor that it's not if, it's just a matter of win for the IU all-time leading scorer and the Big Ten all-time leading scorer.
Could somebody please explain the time frame on the College Hall of Fame, both football and basketball? Every year, both sides announce who's in. You know, and every year when they announce it, I was looking at that and go, that guy wasn't in yet? Like in pro sports, you know, you got a 5-year waiting period, and then you're eligible. In college sports, I don't know what it is. I don't know if the voters are idiots and just have ignored Calbert Chaney for 20 years, or if there's got to be a formula. To me, the formula is fascinating because there's just no way Calbert Chaney shouldn't have been in by now. And Purdue's Terry Dischinger got in. He wasn't in yet. I mean, I expect any moment they're going to announce that Lou Alcindor just made it. and Bill Russell from San Francisco, he's in next year's class. I don't know what these people are waiting on. It happens in both sports, and I don't know. But long overdue, and to say it's a no-brainer is a stupid thing to say, but Calbert Chaney's, you know, when he graduated, he probably was one of the top 15 all-time scorers in college basketball history.
Absolutely. Greg, I want a last thought here, last question for you.
Yeah.
You know, there's lots of talk about what's going to happen next with the IU roster. Does Romeo Langford declare for the NBA? If so, when does that happen? We've seen a transfer in Clifton Moore, at least one scholarship player, saying that he's going to try it elsewhere next season. And so there are some openings, and there are some recruits, some high school guys in the 2019 class, and obviously there's a ton of movement nationally with transfers coming and going, both underclassmen and graduate transfers as well. But one of the big, I guess if there's a headline in this right now, it's Joey Brunk. He's an Indiana guy. He played at Southport. I know you covered him there. You obviously followed him at Butler as well. He's already met with the Indiana coaches in an in-home visit over the weekend. And then from what I understand, took an unofficial campus visit to IU yesterday. So that much activity in a very short period of time, and given the proximity of IU and Bloomington from his home and from Butler where he's currently at, would lead you to believe that maybe there's some real possibility he lands as a Hoosier for his final years of college basketball. I'm just curious your thoughts on that, and if that were to come together, what you would make of Joey Brunk wearing an IU uniform.
Well, Joey Brunk's one of my favorite kids in college basketball. He lost his father to cancer 2-3 years ago, and it was horrible, and it cost him a redshirt year. And it's why he'll be eligible right away. He's only been a Butler for 3 years, but only played two of them, but he's already graduating in May. So he's a graduate transfer. He's eligible right away and eligible for 2 years. I mean, he's a really rare graduate transfer. You get him right away for 2 years, which is remarkable. And he's just a great young man. I mean, he's a great young man. Love him so much. So wherever he goes, I'll be rooting for him. And he's, you know, he's come a long way. He's really good. I mean, he was underused at Butler. He's got skill. You watch him. He's got a great motor. He's bouncy for 6'11", 240. Underused at Butler. I don't know if that's why he's leaving, but if IU gets him, that's a great get for them. He and Trace Jackson Davis, I don't think, play together, or if he'll be back in him. I have no idea, but that'll be – I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up at IU, and I don't know anything at all, but just because if he's giving them that much attention and time, you're either willing to transfer to a school just down the road or you're not. He clearly is willing to, and IU is on his final list out of high school too, so if I had to bet, I bet he goes to IU, but I say that not knowing anything.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment presented each week on Tuesdays by Coffee Crossing. Now open, the fourth Coffee Crossing location in the area, Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Greg will be there. Well, what's it take you to get there? About an hour and 42 minutes or something from where you're at? I'm joking, of course.
I go a little bit faster than that. I'm 65, but yeah. Hey, thanks for having me on, and anybody out there listening, I know there's a bunch of you out there listening that have anxiety and or depression. You are not alone, and that is very uplifting for all of us. You're not alone. You
absolutely
got this.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much.
Absolutely, Matt. Bye.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, with us on this Tuesday edition of the program. Man, good guest to have. He covers a lot of things, both sports and basketball and just with life. He's fun to have with us Tuesdays here on the program. I did want to mention this. It's really not of interest to IU fans or from an IU perspective, but and really from a local high school perspective either, but I had it in my notes and didn't work it in earlier, but Chris Byers, a longtime assistant coach at Bloomington South, he's been very active in the summer ball, the AAU ball. He's actually the director of Indiana Elite, one of the guys that years and years ago in our state got AAU really going with Bloomington Red. I don't know who might remember that. It had a great connection with IU there for a while. They had a lot of great players for a number of years that went on to play at Indiana. And a lot of people looked at Bloomington Red when they traveled the country in the old days of AAU ball as kind of a feeder program, I guess you could say, for IU. But he took the job at Warren Central a few years ago, led Warren Central early in his time there to a state championship and an undefeated season. And, of course, almost undefeated, that streak, I should say, went deep into this past high school basketball season, and Warren Central was knocked out of the tournament a little earlier on this year. But obviously has done great things there and has had a lot of talent at Warren Central. It's an absolutely huge school and has always been looked at, even before they were a power in basketball, as one of the more coveted jobs, not just basketball, but football, and I'm sure a lot of other sports as well, because of having such a big enrollment and having such a student population as they do. Chris Byers is leaving Warren Central. Kyle Nedenrip had the first report that I saw yesterday that pending school board approval, he's going to go to Franklin Central, Franklin Township, Franklin Central in Indianapolis, not Franklin Community, located in Franklin, south of Indianapolis. And a lot of people get those confused, but he's switching schools. He's going to take a job that if you ranked him, there would be really not much comparison at all as far as their ability to have success in 4A. But nonetheless, Chris Byers, kind of a shocking move. We talk a lot about college basketball moves and some local jobs that are open right now, but on a statewide perspective, that's just kind of a shocker, really, in the world of coaching news. So Chris Byers, it looks like, headed to be the new coach at Franklin Central. Of course, Franklin Central, just to kind of put things together for you, comes out of a sectional that includes Center Grove and Franklin and Greenwood and some other bigger schools on the south side of Indianapolis that would feed in or does feed in to the Seymour Regional, which is where they could maybe connect with a local team like a Floyd Central, a New Albany, or a Jeffersonville. So an interesting note, Chris Byers leaving Warren Central after lots of success in just a handful of seasons and headed to Franklin Central to start a new challenge. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram. Mike actually is live today with us from IU Pro Day in football. So we're going to talk a little bit of football and a lot of basketball with Mike when we come back in our final segment of this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with us. And if you hear some background noise, Mike warned me before we came on, he is at IU Pro Day for football. So let's start with that, Mike. Update us on some of the happenings today with Pro Day for IU football.
Yeah, I'm here in the weight room, just outside the glass of the weight room. And I'm looking at about 18 NFL scouts that are here for Indiana to, you know, the guys who have just used up their eligibility to show what they have. I mean, and I think three of the guys were also in the NFL combine recently. So it's, but, you know, they'll be running, going over to the Mellon camp and doing the various running drills and shuttles and so forth. But we're in the weight room now to see how they do on the bench, reps, and a couple other, strength measures, and then we'll go into speed and agility. It's always kind of fun to see how the guys do and measure up and see if they can, get an invite to camp or even if they're really lucky to get drafted.
Absolutely. Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us at IU Pro Day for football. Obviously, football will take more of the conversation coming up very soon, but I want to get to some basketball topics with you, a couple that I think are very interesting and very important this time of year. We've seen, Mike, some players, maybe it's informally at the press conference when their team is defeated and it comes up from the NCAA tournament, or maybe it's been a social media posting on Twitter or something like that, but we've begun to see players declare in some form or fashion for the NBA draft. Sometime you get an official press conference from the school. Rarely it might be a big announcement with the family involved, but mostly it's just something fairly simple, sometime a media opportunity, sometime not. I think in the next couple of weeks is really the sweet spot, if there is one, for players to declare with or without an agent for the 2019 draft. So I'm curious, like lots and lots of IU fans, about Romeo Langford. Do you still think that he will declare for the draft, even though there has been a little slippage, according to some, in his prospects for this coming 2019 draft and where he could go in the first round? And if so, when do you think is a likely time that he could say, hey, I'm going to the draft and I'm going to keep an agent, or I'm not going to have an agent? When could all that make its way to us?
Yeah, I do expect that he will move on. I think that best guess would be next week on when that happens. Could go on a little bit beyond that, but I haven't heard that it'll happen this week, but I think, like you said, that sweet spot is about to come up here in another week or so. And yeah, it's been our expectation all year that he would go on. I think that the image of him slipping in the draft was maybe because he was listed a little bit higher than was really reality in the minds of a lot of scouts on some of the media mocks. But he's still very solidly in the middle of the first round and in the minds of a lot of people, and that's, I think that should do it.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us. You put a percentage. I mean, are you? It sounds to me like you're fairly confident it's what he's going to do, that he will declare. Is there, maybe instead of asking for a percentage, let me phrase it this way. In your mind, do you see any path, any way that he does come back to IU for a second season? And if that were to be the case, what would it take to maybe change his mind if he's already set on going to the NBA now? What point would he have to fall to, maybe out of the guaranteed money? I'm not as versed in that stuff as you are, for him to maybe come back for a second year, if that's even a possibility.
Well, if you do fall in the first round, you lose definite guarantee and all that. Though even some of the guys who are in early second do end up getting some guaranteed deals. Just no definite happening for them if they do fall out of those first, 30 or so first round picks. I think that he is not in that. He doesn't have anything to worry about in terms of falling out of the first round, and that's one of the reasons we think he, is very likely to go. From his standpoint, I guess there could be some motivation to stay another year to get stronger and to improve his shot, maybe rest his wrist for a while, and show that wasn't, part of, his numbers weren't great on the three-point shot. Maybe he can come back and show that and maybe go top eight or something like that, or top five, and maybe do what Cody Zeller did and really improve his position. But that starts the clock to the second contract another year later, and therefore, the real money is postponed a year if you do come back. So that's one of the reasons we think you'll turn pro.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is with us. Mike is always with us on Tuesdays. He's at the IU Pro Day for football today, coming to us live. Let me ask you this about Joey Brunk. I mentioned that in the last segment with Greg Doyle, and obviously, I guess as far as roster movement and recruiting right now, if you want to consider that recruiting, he probably is the hottest thing out there as far as IU goes. IU coaches have met with him at home. They, according to what I was told, he had an unofficial visit to the campus yesterday to take a look around. So given how quickly all this stuff happens in the world of college hoops and transfers this time of year, no real surprise that it's moving this quickly, but just putting two and two together would look like there's some pretty serious interest from both ends of that deal. And do you think it could be maybe something that happens soon?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe not in the next couple of days or anything, but pretty soon. It's not grad transfers happen fast anyway. But now you're talking about somebody who's already very familiar with the program, really familiar with Bloomington, and therefore, maybe just needs to explore the other options out there and make a decision. But it's not like he has to get familiar with what he'd be jumping into at Indiana. It should happen, I would think, within the next couple of weeks.
Mike, I had this question a couple times, and it was just posed to me earlier in the show on Twitter, so I want to pass it along to you. I think I generally know what happens this time of year. You probably have a little bit better read, may not know exactly. Of course, each coach and each program does things a certain way and has their ways to close out a season. But what exactly is the IU team doing right now? Is it closing out the year, meetings with coaches about roles and off-season responsibilities and who's going to be on campus and when? What does it look like right now for the team? What are they doing? What are they preparing for?
Well, I do know this is the time of the year when you have after-season meetings with the coaches, maybe a one-on-one possibly. I don't know if it's one-on-one, but a meeting with the staff about what you need to work on and how what they thought about the season. And these are the kind of meetings that often do lead to a transfer decision or a decision to not transfer. And so that's kind of where we are with this. There's still the individual workouts you can do, and there's probably some pickup play, but a lot of guys do sometimes take a couple weeks off from basketball to kind of recharge their batteries this time of year. But there's still the individual work that the coaches can do with the players. It's just you can't, have a whole team together and coach them in that matter. But, a lot of weight training and so forth. But this is the most, relevant thing for the fans out there is this is the end-of-season meetings where they kind of meet with the staff, and they, coaches are very honest what they liked and what they didn't like from this past year. And I think it's turned around careers. I mean, we did a feature today on Christian Wofford, I think an end of season meeting he had after his sophomore year really turned him turned his career around. He had a really good last 2 years. You know, they were honest with him on what he had to change, and he went out and did it.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com. Mike, thank you so much for the chat today. As always, we'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right, Matt. Talk to you then.
All right, Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us here on this Tuesday program. That's just about going to do things for today. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget, if you missed the live show at 11 o'clock, you most days can catch the replay at 3 p.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio and streaming on live at online at BigXSportsRadio.com. And if you miss it all together or you just prefer podcasts, we're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts, two very easy ways to connect with our program on a daily basis. For SoundCloud, you can point your browser directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Or on Apple Podcasts, just type in the Hoosier Report. You'll find us. And if you would, leave us a rating and a review. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a podcast about IU basketball and sports here in Southern Indiana. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with you Wednesday. Scheduled to be with us on Wednesday is Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com. A lot of off-season things to talk with Jeff about. Also, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He will be with us tomorrow as well on the program. So we'd love to have you with us at 11 o'clock or 3 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio. A great Tuesday. And a note, I think our first high school baseball game, just had somebody ask me this, our first high school baseball broadcast of the year will be next Wednesday. It'll be between New Albany and Floyd Central. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll remind you of that as we get a little closer. Have a great Tuesday. Back with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.